Welcome to the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church podcast, where two pastors process the context of church and the practice of discipleship. And we just talk about all kinds of things. I'm Pastor Christian, and this is Pastor Ted.
Hi, everyone.
On today's episode, Ted tells us about the one time that he traveled overseas, and we have a guest on the podcast. Toby is on the show, and he tells us about his years of ministry serving as an international worker with the Alliance in West Africa. It's really a story of God's faithfulness. Thank you for joining us. This is episode 3. How you doing, Ted? About to yawn.
Yawning, man. I'm yawning. I need more coffee.
It's all good.
Okay.
Have you ever traveled overseas?
I have, yes, actually.
Okay.
One time. If you want to count it.
Well, okay. Well, what's the story?
Well, the story is I was in high school and a member of our high school choir, and we got invited to go to Guatemala. And so we did travel overseas. It was the Gulf of Mexico.
Well, that still counts.
Like it was over the sea.
It was over the sea. Yeah. Guatemala's another country. Okay. So,
yeah.
what grade were you in?
A senior in high school.
Senior in high school. Yeah. And you went to Guatemala with the choir.
With the choir. High school choir got invited by the government to sing for a full week in Antigua and Guatemala City and different places. It was free concerts. It was on behalf of the government.
Okay.
That invited the high school, and the band went, and the high school choir went, and I got to bring my guitar. I was the entertainment in between the band changing out and the choir changing out. So they'd put me in front and say, sing.
So just by yourself, solo?
Yeah, you solo. And the guitar. Me and the guitar. So.
Awesome. Do you remember what you played or sang?
I did, yeah. Very embarrassing. I sang Feelings, that pop song Feelings. Nothing more than feelings.
Okay,
yeah.
Awesome.
And one concert, I mispronounced the Spanish, and there was probably, it looked like 1,000 people. It looked like 20 million people to me, but it was only probably about 1,000 people came, heard, but they didn't clap or respond after I got done with the song.
Oh, no.
And I was like, what did I do? And I went to the translator. I said, did I do anything wrong? And she goes, yeah, you did.
Oh, no.
I go, uh-oh. Instead of teardrops falling down on my face, it was teardrops falling down in my hole.
Okay.
And people were like, what? What? So the next night, that was in, I think, Antigua, but the next night we were in Guatemala City and I got it right.
Nice.
Yeah. So
did they clap that time?
I made a comeback. Yeah, they did in a little bit. Yeah. So
okay.
We made a comeback. But
so you sang in Spanish?
I did.
Ah,
don't ask me to do it now.
Wow.
It was many years ago. So okay. This was 1977,
wow.
I think.
Yeah. Okay. So you're like 17, 18.
Yep.
Up there playing your guitar.
Up there playing my guitar.
In front of 1,000 people. That's no joke.
In Guatemala. Yeah, that was pretty exciting.
I'm sure.
That was good.
I'm impressed you could do it at all. If you just messed up one word, that's pretty good.
Yeah, well, a phrase. Yeah, well, you got to be careful what you say in Spanish.
Well, speaking of going overseas, today we're super fortunate. We have an interview with our friend Toby.
Yes.
We're not going to say Toby's last name, but Toby and his family have been IWs with the Alliance serving in West Africa. So we're going to listen to an interview from them. And then after the interview, you and I will come back and chat about it.
Looking forward to it. Hi, everyone. Today we are excited to have a good friend of mine with us. I've known Toby for many, many years, so we're thrilled to have him. I remember I was a director of a Christian camp, and Toby met his future wife there. They were counselors, and one of the kids got injured at the basketball court, so his wife, Kirsten, had to go to the hospital, and Toby went with him, and Cupid followed. And over the years, we've followed their ministry. They've been with the Christian Missionary Alliance 25, 30 years.
24 years.
24 years.
24 years as international workers.
Yeah, and we're thrilled to have you, Toby, today.
I was a clueless youth pastor working there at camp. When I went to camp that year, I volunteered to be a counselor, and I wanted to take a bunch of people from my church, but nobody went. And I said, I'm going anyway. So I went, and I was a counselor for the Delta One Alliance Church. And so we did all the activities together, partnering all week. And then when the person got hurt, we went to the Gainesville Hospital. And she says that I was watching Roadrunner in the waiting room, and she was trying to talk to me. And I was so clueless. And then I got her number after camp. And when I got her number, I never called her. She had to call me. I was clueless. I just a clueless youth pastor. I was just anyway, but the Lord was gracious to me.
How long have you guys been married now?
27 years.
Awesome.
We have four children, Kenna, Colby, Laura, and Lucas. Kenna was born in 1999, so we became missionaries in 2000. Now she'll be 25 this summer.
Wow.
Kenna is actually a school teacher now. And Colby came when we were in our first term of missionaries. He was actually born in Africa, born in Cote d'Ivoire in Abidjan. Colby just graduated Columbia International University, and he's got a job in Columbia, South Carolina. And then I've got Laura as my other girl, and she's 19. She just started at Cote Falls College. She's going to the nursing program. And then Lucas, who's in 10th grade, and he lives with us in Deltona.
Is Deltona your home base when you come back, or is that just where you are this year?
Deltona is our home base, our home church when we come back. So that's where Kirsten's family grew up, and I grew up actually in Mineola. Deltona is our home base where we go to church and where we live when we come back.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, what's wonderful is both Kirsten and Toby's families have been faithful in the local Alliance Church for many, many, many years.
That's great. So you're like it's a generational story.
Yeah.
Actually, that's awesome.
It's really good.
Tell us how you and Kirsten were called into missions and how that happened, how you started out with the Alliance.
Yeah. With Kirsten, she was at Lake Swan Camp when she was like an elementary school kid. She knew from seven, eight years old, that she wanted to be a missionary. She got old enough, she started doing mission trips. I went out with New Tribes mission trips on the summer and did stuff with the Alliance Youth. She went to Cote Falls College to become a teacher, to be an international worker and be a teacher at the same time. So she knew that from the beginning. I grew up in a home that was very missions-minded. My parents always had missionaries over, and I just knew that missions was important. My parents were involved in missions a little bit part-time. They went overseas when I was 10. They went to South Africa, and I was part of that. They always had a missions heart. So I grew up with that. And I felt God's call on my life to grow deeper, make Jesus first in my life, when I was 17 years old at Lake Swan Camp again. I remember going to family camp, 1985. Mary Kay Pease was a speaker, missionary from Mali, Africa. And she talked about seeking God's kingdom first. And I didn't know about being a missionary. I just knew it was about Jesus. And so I went to college, ended up graduating to Christian Ed, and I became a youth pastor. But as I was doing that, and God was blessing, the Lord just did amazing things. It was a Mineola Alliance. People were coming to the Lord. The kids were excited about Jesus. I got so hungry for the Word of God. And I was reading it. It was almost for the first time. Even growing up in a Christian home, and I just kept seeing God's heart for the world. So I began praying more and more about that calling to be a missionary, and I was like, started praying for missionaries. And then I just, any opportunity that I had during those years, I wanted to spend with missionaries. When they would come, I would take them out for lunch, hanging out with these missionaries, just learning from them. And God used these experiences just to call me to be willing to go as a missionary. Then I met Kirsten. She was already on their way there.
Yeah.
And she helped confirm this call. And I became ordained with the Alliance. And we both felt God wanted us to become missionaries.
So you've been IWs now with the Alliance 24 years. Tell us a little bit about where you've served or where you serve now.
Yeah, it's all been in West Africa. As we went through the process to become missionaries, the Alliance leaders at the time felt that we'd be a good fit there. So we went to be missionaries, and our first assignment was in Cote d'Ivoire. That only lasted a year because there was a civil war, and we were evacuated out. And we even left our dog and all our stuff. We were once again like oblivious to what was really going on. We only took a couple suitcases, and when we got out, we realized we weren't going back. And through that, we were reassigned to Burkina Faso. Mm. We went to Burkina Faso, and we've pretty much been in Burkina Faso since 2002 until now.
What did that mean in terms of language for you guys?
We had to learn French. So we actually did a year in Burkina Faso in French language study. And then when we settled down, we had to learn the trade language of Jula.
What was like the context of your ministry? What sort of stuff were you guys doing or have you been doing in Burkina Faso?
We've always been involved in church planning, evangelism, and discipleship. From the very beginning after language study, even during language study, we were part of outreaches into unreached villages. But with that comes evangelism training, discipleship, and a lot of other things fall under that. We went into this area that was very unreached, and the Lord did some things in this region, like the Book of Acts stuff. People were coming to the Lord. It was really a move of the Spirit. We would do evangelism campaigns, showing the films and conversations and visiting homes and praying for the sick, and we would see deliverances. Just amazing stuff happened. And when we started, we were only a couple groups of believers. And in 10 years, we had over 30 churches.
Wow.
One of the things we saw with initially when we saw 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 churches being planted, my colleague and I, we would go out there with church leaders and spend several days with them and do intense discipleship seminars. So that was a huge part of our discipleship, doing that week after week after week for several years.
Awesome. I wonder if you could tell us a story. If I ask you to think back, what's a time where God really showed up? You know, you just really sensed God's provision.
Man, there's a lot of things I could talk about. This one village that was close to the border of the next country, this village was unreached. The traditional religion was there with a lot of spiritual practices, witch doctors, and very strong region. The people there are very resistant. Well, this one guy came to the Lord, and he was out working in his field. And a Christian guy was there working in the field right next to him. And they started to get to know each other, and through their relationship, he was introduced to Christ. He left the traditions, he left the spirit worship and all that to follow Jesus. His family started following the Lord. He had some friends, and they got so hungry for the Word of God. So they contacted a pastor that was about an hour and a half away in an Alliance church. This pastor started visiting. This guy was a farmer that came to the Lord, and he started visiting him on a regular basis. And this church grew, and they grew from just this one man. I remember he called me one day. The pastor called me, and he said, "You've got to come out here. We've got several hundred people coming to our church.
Wow.
They need to be discipled." So I went out there to visit him, and I showed up. And in this culture, they have what's called fetish pots and fetish poles, where they put things for the spirits. They get stuff and put things in these pots, and they have things hanging on their necks and on their doorposts. They have all these things to protect it from the spirits. When I showed up at church, there was a huge pile close to the church where they'd stacked these things up, and they burned and got rid of all these fetishes.
Wow.
And I saw the people, and there were several hundred people there. God used that movement to just reach out to the next country and to plant other churches in other villages. And it's still strong to this day. Every time I visited that village, something amazing happened.
That's amazing. That's so cool. I wonder if you could talk about a time over the course of your ministry where you guys felt you were just in over your head.
Yeah, I could. There's been many occasions. I could go way back when I first started learning French. I was like, "God, you picked the wrong guy." It made me realize that it's not me, it's him. What does it say in John 15? "I'm the vine, you're the branches. He abides in me, and I in him will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So I do remember that God confirmed that this is my calling, and I'm going to help you. And I ended up learning French, and he did that. Same thing with the next language. It was, you know, after 2 years of French and then getting to another language, I was starting to already get burned out. This is my first term. I'm like, "God, I cannot get this. I cannot hear. I cannot talk." And I remember when I was learning Jula, after being at about a year, I was like, God, I can't do anything in this language. I needed a break already, and I still had another year in my term before coming home assignment. It was during the summer. It was a lot of rainy season in Burkina Faso. And I just said, maybe I just need to slow down. I'm trying too much. And I was like, God, I'm just so discouraged with this language. And wouldn't you know it, about a week later, I led someone to Christ who only spoke Jula.
Wow.
Wow.
And I was like, God just gave me confirmation again that he is in this. There's been numerous occasions where we've been doing ministry and like the Lord has come through and just showed that he is in it. And he gave me an interesting truth that showed me that he's there. I was out in a village and it was hot. We have rainy season and we have really dry season. And part of the dry season is really hot. And it was really hot. And we're out there. I'm out there sleeping in villages during this hot season. We go out for like a week at a time. It's 110 degrees every day, and it's hot. And I remember one afternoon sitting under a shade tree in my truck, trying to stay cool. And I was all of a sudden got really lonely. And like, Lord, I'm lonely. I miss my family. Not only my family that are back in the city, my wife and kids, but my home back in the States. And I was hot. And then the Spirit just came. He led me to the verses where it talks, where you remember the disciples said, we've left all for you. Remember Jesus called people to, he said, but Lord, we've left all for you. And Jesus said, I assure you that who has left anyone for me will find in this life. And he gives them, you know, basically he will provide for them in many ways. And one of the things he said was family. And God just reminded me that, yeah, I left people. But I looked around and I saw these Christian brothers that were on this evangelism team with me. And then I saw the new Christians. And then I saw people. And just the Lord reminded me, it's like, I've given you a big family.
Yes.
And I'm with you and I provided this for you. And it's just another way he came through just to reassure me that he was there with me and taking care of me.
That's so cool.
That's wonderful. Yeah, it's great.
I wonder if there's something you feel you've learned personally that you feel, and this would be a good word for the American church.
Well, first of all, I'm just so grateful to the American church and us being part of the Christian Missionary Alliance family. And they have been so faithful, taking care of us all these years. And just to remind them that their faithfulness to support missionaries and international workers, their faithfulness in praying, it's not in vain. It works. And even if they don't see the results right away, there are results there. So just thank you and just keep on being faithful. Sometimes we get so caught up in our life, where we are, wherever it is, in the U.S. or wherever, that a lot of times we don't think about what's going on out there in the nations. And there's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of people need the Lord. Don't forget about it. And don't get discouraged, because God has used them amazingly. This past year, we celebrated the 100th anniversary of the Alliance Church being in Burkina Faso. Over 1,000 churches today, over 140,000 believers, over 700 pastors have been trained for ministry over the years. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So their faithfulness is worth it. We still have more to do. Even in Burkina Faso, there are 20-some ethnic groups that are unreached. In West Africa, there are countries that are 99% non-Christian.
Wow.
That's the norm for West Africa and North Africa. And we want to take the gospel to these unreached areas.
If you could think about West Africa, what are some of the main prayer requests that we should be lifting up, you know, for that field?
Yeah. We really need to be praying to the Lord of the harvest for more workers. There is a huge effort in our church to reach these nations that have never heard. You know, Creative Access of Countries, where you go in, you can't go in as a pastor or a traditional missionary because it's not allowed. But be praying that the Lord would open up these nations, be praying for workers to go, and pray for the church that is existing there for revival. The other request is where we are in West Africa. The last 10 years have been very difficult with insecurity. We have extreme jihadists that are moving in the area. And if you look at the countries in West Africa, almost every one of them suffer because of this. Even where we are, our travels are limited. We stay in the city, and that's pretty safe. But to go out to these, like I used to do village church planning, I can't go there anymore. So be praying for the peace of these countries. Be praying for the church. It's a suffering church right now. Churches are closing all the time. 4,000 schools have been closed in Burkina Faso the last 2 years. And people are leaving their villages and their farms because of things are insecure, and they're moving to the areas in their country that are more secure.
Is that why the schools and churches are closing? Because people are leaving the area?
Yes. And the teachers are leaving. They don't want to be in the area. So schools are closing. The teachers don't want to be in an area that's dangerous. So they leave, and then jihadists move in, and the other people leave. They don't want to be there. We have Christians that are leaving because they want to get to a safer place. Take their kids and families to another place to live. And so just be praying for them. There are over 2 million displaced people in Burkina Faso today. Wow. And a lot of them are coming to the city where we live. It's safer there.
Mm. Yeah, those are intense prayer requests, and I think really, really good. So yeah. We will. We'll be praying That's for those good. Things.
That's good. You know, the prayer of the righteous person avails much, you know, the effectiveness of the praying church. If you're listening, we encourage you to pray. Pray as never before, but pray, pray, pray. Keep praying. Be faithful. There's much work to be done, and there's much yet to do for our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So thankful for how God has led you and Kirsten over the years and how He's blessing, and He will continue to do that in the years ahead. So we're so grateful. So thank you.
Yeah, Toby, we're super grateful for you guys and your ministry and your faithfulness. And you're still going strong. So we're going to continue to pray for you and excited for that. And thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you all. Thank you.
All right. Well, it was great hearing from Toby, hearing just a little bit about his experience. I mean, he probably could have talked for hours, right? Because he's been on the field for so long. But it was just awesome to hear some of his stories and testimonies and just how God moved. What stood out to you from the interview?
Well, just hearing how Toby's faith has grown deeper with the Lord. He has that sensitivity, the Holy Spirit's leading. Mm-hmm. I did enjoy the time when he shared about, you know, I'm sitting in the truck and I miss home. Mm. I'm just missing home. Yet God just poured out His presence upon him and gave him peace and His presence and that reassurance, hey, I'm right with you and you're doing what I want you to do.
Yeah, I like what he said too. He was missing family and he looked around at his teammates and even at the local believers, you know. He said, God provided this for me, you know, and that was a really interesting way to think of it because in a sense, it's like, hey, this is the fruit of the ministry, and you know, this is for the Lord. You know, I'm giving my life for the Lord in this ministry. But it was almost like a reversal. The Lord was like, this is for you. This fruit is your family. I mean, this is the reward in this time frame that I'm extending to you, you know, and really meeting him in the place of that need. I thought that was so cool to not look at them as fruit, but as the answer to his own prayer, you know?
I know. I enjoyed that the body of Christ is really a blessing for those who are a part of the body of Christ, those who minister to the body of Christ, the church, and those who are part of the church. The church is a blessing for one another. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. We are family, and there's strength in that, and there's encouragement in that.
Mm. There was Toccoa Falls connection. There was Lake Swan connection, which I know is special to you because you were at Lake Swan at the time.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Did you bring back any memories?
Oh, it did. I just remember them as youngsters. Thankful how God has used the camp as a tool to call people to Himself.
Yeah.
First of all, finding Jesus, and then following Jesus in life vocation as a overseas worker or pastor or missionary or wherever.
Yeah. I think camp times and conference times, they're like moments of intensity, you know. Yeah. Sometimes they call them mountaintop experiences. But those moments of intensity can really propel people forward into their relationship with God, of course, and then also, you know, into ministry, even, which was Toby's case, which is really cool.
Yeah, that is.
You know, they do a lot of church planting and discipleship. I wonder if that reminded you at all of your church planning times or just your own discipleship journey with others, you know?
Oh, well, I enjoyed the way that he said even now, even though he's in the States, he's able, because of modern technology, to have influence on his church leaders overseas, and they're doing the hands and the feet of his ministry and extension. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things God has impressed us, we need to be faithful in the little things, faithful in the big things, and as we demonstrate faithfulness, he just weaves a thread of his faithfulness wherever you go, a fragrance of his working. For me, it's like I feel that I can go back to anywhere that God has allowed us to serve and just pick up where we left off. I have that relationship factor built in. And I think part of that is faithfulness in praying and faithfulness in continuing to be faithful wherever God has you. Mm-hmm. And not lose hope, not give up, but keep praying, because God will bring a harvest at the proper time if we don't lose heart and don't give up.
Yeah. Toby's story really is a story of faithfulness. You know, listening to him speak, he's been there for 25 years and still just so convinced that God is good and worth serving, you know. I would imagine 25 years, you could sound pretty tired. And I'm sure, of course, in moments he's been tired, but he is just still so full of conviction that, you know, how he has spent his life is worth it and it's worth continuing to do. And that's why he's like, pray for more workers and pray for safety on the field. It's a story of faithfulness. And it's, in one way, it's his faithfulness, but it's also so much more God's faithfulness to him and working through him. Like you're talking about weaving that thread. And you can really see that in Toby's stories.
Yeah.
One story that stood out to me, he was telling about when he showed up to that one village and they had destroyed all of their fetish pots and fetish poles. And he said they had those things for protection. You know, they offered those things to the local quote-unquote deities for safety and for protection. And then they destroyed them. It's like they didn't need to be protected anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They didn't need to honor those lowercase deities anymore because they had found hope in God and found strength and protection in him. Mm-hmm. It's really moving when you see such a physical manifestation of that leaving behind the old ways, you know?
Yeah.
And how that God had taken up residence in their lives and in their village. It's really moving, I thought.
That is moving. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that happens in our lives as well. I just think in those animistic cultures, it's just more blatant and more obvious. There's like a pot that you break, you know?
Yeah.
As opposed to maybe for us in the West, it looks a little different, the change in behavior, change in posture. But that's happening in us too, you know?
Yeah.
And we can look for ways to apply that even.
Well, the Lord is the chain breaker. He's the one that can set us free, set the captives free, and there's freedom in Christ and hope in Christ and victory in Christ. It was wonderful to hear Toby say that even as the 25 years they were there, there were moments of Acts.
Yeah.
You know, what we find in Acts, the miracles that happened, it took place there, and it was demonstrating Christ's power.
One story I really related to was when he was talking about language learning and how challenging that is. And just how he was so discouraged in that, you know, he had learned French and then he was learning Jula and just felt like hitting all these blocks. I can definitely relate to that, just hitting these mental blocks of language. And the thing is, when you're having to minister in a second or third language, you don't feel like you're bringing your whole self to the table. I could explain this really well in English, you know, I could tell a story really well in English, but when I have to do it in another language, it's like I'm hamstrung, you know, like I can't use my gifts and it feels so discouraging. And I loved how he said, you know, he let go and he decided, okay, I'll just slow down. And that week the Lord allowed him to lead someone to Christ just using that language. And it's just a example of my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Yeah, that is good.
That Paul said,
sure.
You know, I could relate to that so viscerally that I'm not bringing my human strength and talents to this exchange because I can't. But God is moving in power, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and then you know, you can point to him and be like, look, I don't know how this guy got saved. I could barely speak the language, but he did. And that means God was moving, you know?
Yeah. That's
it's
right.
So great when there's no chance of you taking the glory. All
that's
you're
right.
doing is just like
that's
laying
right.
it before the Lord. You can point to him.
Yeah. You have to depend on him to help you even pronounce words right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Say the right phrase in the language that you're going to say or speak.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And he gets the glory.
Yeah. He gets the glory. That's what it's all about.
Thanks for listening to the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church podcast. We're glad you're here, and we want to invite you to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. All of our content is produced in-house by the ZAC Media Team. If you want to connect with us further, reach out on Facebook or on our website, zaccma.org.